Well, this morning we have a treat in the house. We have one of our very own people that are from this area that are going to come this morning and they're going to share their story. And you know, I've only got to recently know this guy over the last year, I'd say. And every time I would meet him, I would say to the Lord, this guy is a gentleman, you know. And I don't know an awful lot about him, but I would like for us as the body and as the believers of God here in the house to give this guy a standing ovation before he even begins. So please stand and let's welcome Abraham Turner, please, this morning. Amen. 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 You know, I think it's good to honor before we begin. Amen. Amen. But you know, as I said, I met this guy probably about a year ago, I would think, about a year ago. And as I said, I don't really know an awful lot about Abe, but I call him Abraham. Some people call him Abe. I call him Abraham because that's what the Lord calls you. Amen. You know, but just this morning, Abraham, you know, we want to hear a bit of your story. We want a piece of Abraham this morning. So, Abraham, what I would like to ask you is, how did you come to know Jesus? Can you tell us about that?
Good morning, house. Can I just say a quick prayer, please, if you don't mind, Louise? Yes. Father, I just come before you this morning, Father, and I thank you so much, Father, for the honor and the privilege, Father, of speaking to the house this morning. Father, I just pray, Father, that anything that's of me, Father, would fall to the floor this morning, Father. I pray, Father, that I would be led every word, Father, by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father. I do believe, Father, that this is an appointed time, Father. And I just pray, Father, for hearts to be open this morning, Father, to receive, Father, what it is, Father, you want to say. So, Father, we lift this up to you in your Son's precious name. Amen. No, I'll give that later. I'll tell you, so I was at the end of a long sentence, a long prison sentence, and I didn't know the Lord. And coming to the end of the sentence, something in me was crying out. And I'm sure the lads on the landing thought I was going mad because I was in the cell on my own, but yet they could hear me screaming every night. And what I was doing, I was raising my fist to the ceiling and I was saying, if you're up there, make yourself real. Make yourself real, God. Show me who you are. I don't want to live this life anymore. I don't want to live this life anymore. And a lady that you would know from the house, Moira O'Neill, all of a sudden at the end of my sentence came up to visit me. And then another friend of mine, Joe Kerrigan, tried to come in and see me. And then Philip Richardson, who you are all familiar with, Philip, came up to see me. And I remember Philip, just out of the blue, at the end of my sentence, these people coming up to me. And I remember Philip saying to me, Abraham, I have a place down in Drogheda, a place called Lifeline. He said, would you like to come down? And he said, why would you come down? Because, you know, Abe, I know you can go back to what it is you want to go back to. And I said, I sat there and I said, you know something, Philip? I said, I don't have the heart anymore. I said, to put on some child, I said, what has taken me 20 years to try and fight. I was 20 years in addiction at that stage. I said, I don't have the heart to do that anymore. And he said, well, you know something, come down. He said, so I got released and I didn't go home. Didn't go home for one day. I went straight down to Philip in Lifeline. And when you come from prison, you're kind of like, you know, you act a certain way in there, you wear a certain way. And you know, I wasn't a nice person. I don't think I was. But you know, when I got down there, the father started to change my heart. And after a few months, I was going to leave. And Philip says, would you stay, Abraham, and help me? You know? And I stayed on with Philip for about another 15 months there. And, you know, God was it. That's where I met Jay. I had the privilege of meeting Jay down there and Michael Cleary and a few others. But the Father was so gracious with me down there, you know? And he changed my heart completely, you know? And this is the thing. I left Lifeline. I came back up to Dublin, and I didn't want to go back into the old area. So I took an apartment out at City West, and I kind of ostracized myself a little. I thought I had it all together because I was after being down the Lifeline, and you know, coming out of Lifeline, I thought I was in the best shape of my life. I thought I was a super Christian, you know, only saved, and I thought nothing could touch me. And I tell you now, hand on heart, it took about 10 seconds to take me out. The enemy came in with pride. You know, somebody asked me a question, and just the pride got hold of me. And that started me on another backslide, as we call it. You know, 10 seconds, the enemy took me out. Boom. Took the fee from under me. So I went back into full-blown addiction for about another 2 years. And I remember when the Father gets hold of your heart, I remember at times going off to get stuff. And I remember having stuff in my hand, having gear in my hand, and having me earphones and me worship music on. I'm roaring and crying, you know, because when you come to the Father, you're never the same. And it grieves his heart as well as yours when you know you're doing wrong. But, you know, I remember hearing about Tig Lynn, and I said, well, what's, you know, I wasn't familiar with it, what's Tig Lynn? And he said, well, it's a faith-based program. And that's what I wanted back. I wanted my relationship back with my Father. So I went into Tig Lynn 3 years ago. And here's the thing. I went in, and I was only talking with Eddie this morning. I went into Tig Lynn, and I carried in a Mount Everest of pride and ego and everything else on my shoulder, because that's what we do, you know. And I remember I was still very sick, and Eddie sent over to me for a class. He said, get him to come over here. I want him to do one of the classes, one of the biblical studies we do down there. And I remember one of the guys coming over for me. And I was in the hall, and I says, what does he want me to go over there for? Sure, I could teach them classes. I know everything there is to know about Christianity, you know. But I went over, and anyway, to Eddie's class, and you know, God bless him. He's an absolutely amazing teacher. I'm sure he's heard that many times, and I thank the Lord so much for putting him. I thank the Lord so much for putting him in my path. But that evening, the Lord put it on my heart, because a couple of the guys in the center thought, well, if this guy worked in a treatment center, a faith-based program, he knows about Christianity. And I remember the Lord saying to me, you need to put your hand up in prayer time this evening. And what will I say? You need to tell these lads that you know nothing. And I was kind of like in my head saying, well, hang on for a minute. Can I just go over to Eddie and say to Eddie on his own, like, you know, kind of like trying to bargain. And he said, no, you'll put your hand up, and he'll tell him you know nothing. So it came to prayer time. I had to put my hand up, and I said, lads, you might think that I know one or two things, but I know absolutely nothing. And there began the walk with me and the Father, you know. And he's been so patient and so gracious with me. You know, my relationship with him now it's kind of like a funny relationship. He teaches me with pictures just like you would a child, you know. And I have the privilege of walking with the lads up there now. You know, they were doing a... This is the way he walks with me. We were doing somebody was speaking in church one Sunday, and there was a couple of new lads in the centre. They were only young, you know, and the guy was speaking, and he was speaking on the role the Holy Spirit plays in a Christian's life. And the Father says to me at the back of the church, because I get the nudge in my chest, and he says, I need you to get up and say something. Well, okay, what do you want me to say? These lads are not understanding the role of the Holy Spirit. You need to break it down for them. And what way will I break it down? And he says, well, I'll tell you. And he always leads me to the very, very last second. It's like a walkout for me fate. So all of a sudden, the guy, he says, well, I don't really have anything to say anymore. He said, would anybody else like to speak? So I get the nudge in my chest. So up I goes. And I said, lads, and I start getting the picture down. Lads, I said, what Martin is trying to say, he's trying to explain the role of the Holy Spirit. I said, and this is what it's like. I said, now some of the young guys in the center, they know about cars, and they know about all the technology. So I said, if I go out and I buy a sat nav and I bring it in here and I put it on the pulpit, I said, it's not really going to do anything, is it? I said, if I take that same sat nav and go out and put it in the car, I said, it'll direct the car where to go. I said, now, if you ask me to drive the old road of my life, I can do it with my eyes closed. I knew it that well, I could do it with my eyes closed. I said, but ask me to take a new direction. I said, I'm going to need guidance. I said, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He guides you, I said. He guides you along, you know. And that's the relationship with me and the Father. When he wants me to explain something, he breaks it down, you know, in pictures and words that people can understand, you know.
Brilliant. Amen. Amen. Abraham, thanks so much for being honest with us. There was a couple of things that you said about the haversack and the pride and all that and your relationship with the Father. But just to ask you, what are you passionate about?
Now, I'm passionate about helping people. My heart was never to help people. I would step on you to get over you. You know, I was kind of, I was ruthless in that way. I would step on you to get over you. Now, I don't want to hinder people. I want to help. You know, I go to the outreach. I walk with the lads. I pray with people in the house all the time. You know, and my heart now has completely changed. And I thank him so much for that. You know, my heart has completely changed. And it's, you know, we can. And I say to people, I say, listen, it's never too late. It's never too late. And I was saying to Jeff this morning, 26 years in chronic addiction. You know, and I couldn't do it. I flew around the world getting different treatments, but it was never enough. You know, the only one that could change me is the Father. The only one that could change me is the Father. And I have a prayer at the end of the night, and I say, Abba Father, I absolutely love you. Lord Jesus, I say, thank you that you're the Lord and Savior of my life. I say, but Holy Spirit, you're just cool. And that's a war between me and the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you why. It's an intimate word. Because I was a criminal for most of my life. And the one thing that a criminal hates above everything else is conviction. But you see, when the Holy Spirit convicts me now, I love it. I say, thank you, Father. Thank you that you're convicting me. So that mindset, that change was only by the Father and only by the Holy Spirit. And I love it.
Amen. And just one more question. What would you say to somebody here today that is hopeless or that doesn't know Jesus?
I say this to people all the time. And I said it to a student yesterday going to college. He says, Abraham, I pray all the time. I says, have you been born again? He said, no. I said, listen, I said, do you really want to go through this life and find out at the end that you made a mistake? I said, you have nothing to lose, but you have everything to gain. I said, you're going home to eternity. You have nothing to lose, but you have everything to gain. Everything to gain, I said. So where there is no hope, our Father is hope. You know, where it seems impossible, he is possible. You know, I'll tell you, we were in worship the other night up in the center, and one of the guys gave his testimony, and he was brutally honest. He was very raw, and he felt like he was never loved. He didn't feel good. He felt worthless. And I was sitting there on the back, and the Father says, you need to go up and tell him he's loved, and you need to tell them all they're loved. He said, and he just gave me that one phrase, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And I got up and I said, lads, I said, the Father wants each and every one of us to know tonight, to know that beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I said, Jesus is the beholder. I said, I'm telling you, as I get up in the morning, I said, and I look in the mirror, and I can find 100 things wrong with myself. My eyes are not right, my nose is too big, my ears are getting a little bit bigger. I said, but that's the enemy. That's the enemy every morning trying to rob us of our identity. I said, your Father in heaven, I said, is a master craftsman, I said. I said, he's perfect in all of his ways. He does not make mistakes, I said. He doesn't half do jobs, I said. I says, we are unique, we are individual, we're 1 in 6.5 billion. He broke the mold, I said, when he made us, I said. He didn't make mistakes, and we are beautiful in his eyes. Amen.
Well done. Amen. Abraham, I'm so encouraged. Are you encouraged this morning, church? Amen. You know, God took you from the pit, and he's bringing you to the palace. He's brought you to the palace, his palace. And Abraham, we want to just thank you this morning for sharing your honest heart and what the Lord has done. He's faithful, and he's been faithful to you. Let's give it up for Abraham this morning.
Thank you. I just want to say, this is an amazing house. And Noel speaking about the great big giveaway, I pray for Liberty Church every morning. And I pray for provision for the church, but I've been praying for the great big giveaway. You know, I know you haven't been part of it, but I'll be part of it this year. And just, you know, we can all make a difference. So let's do that this Christmas. Amen.
There's times when you go, how do you follow that? And that's this, and I never struggle with following that, because God gets better. I think that's good. Jesus is better again and again and again. But this is one morning I'm a bit stumped, because I grew up with Abraham. We know each other a long, long, long time. Prayed for him, prayed for his family. Put stakes in the ground around this area and declare that everyone that lives within them stakes into the ground, I mean, not sirloin. It says, everyone that's within them stakes, they belong to the kingdom of God. They're the sheep of his pasture. And to see people come into the kingdom is incredible. And not only just to see people come in, because you might be here and say, hey, I've come in and I haven't had that radical change. Surrender. Surrender. Because when God shows us pride, you have to surrender it to get what he has to give instead of that. You might hear, Father, I hear him talking about you like he knows you. You can know him too. Holy Spirit, you're cool. I've seen you as someone other than cool. It's time for revelation. It's time for your understanding. The old to be broken, and the revelation is a new light into a dark place, or to guide the way into what's truth and reality. You might be saying, how do I get guidance from the Holy Spirit? How do I allow him to be my sat-nav? How do I exchange this old for the new? It's a decision. That's what it is, and he honors that decision. Will you be my Lord? Goes, yes. Lord, I confess that I've got wrong and forgive my sin. Yes. Will you come and live in my life and be my guide and teacher and helper and provider and comforter? My stead, my stronghold? Yes. You know, if I'm in trouble, Lord, will you help me? Yes. You know, if I get it wrong, will you forgive me? Yes. A lot of people have God as a no God. He's a yes God. He's a God that says yes to you. He's a God that says, I'm saying yes to rescuing you. This morning's sermon is not going to be preached. We have 10 minutes. But I want us to respond to what Abraham said. I want us to respond to that. Can you throw up my slides? My first slide. Today was the beginning of their Christmas series called Great Expectations. This morning, it was great expectations met. We have a time frame for the service, time frame for worship, time frame for preaching, da 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 da. But when God gets rid of it, we go with him. Amen. We go with him. What's that, Cher? I'm not glad I got to spend an hour preparing my message. The good news, I'm preaching the brain next week. Anyway. But this is what it is. The birth of Jesus. What's God's response to a sin? Our world is messed up, isn't it? But it's not only messed up now, it's been messed up from Adam and Eve falling in the garden. It's been messed up a lot. If you ask any generation of their era, they'd say this world is a messed up world. But what's God's response to a messed up, evil, sinful world? What's God's response to that world? We would expect the Holy God would smite us. Judges with hell. Want to be away from us, not to come near us. Why would a holy God have anything to do with his sin? We'd expect that. But God, all through the Old Testament, speaks through prophets and speaks through signs and wonders to say that I want you to have, this is what he's saying to the Old Testament, there's a great expectation that I want to put on you that one day a Savior is going to be born. And all through the Old Testament, you'll see this all the way through the prophets prophesying 2,000 years, 3,000 years before Jesus was born, telling of where he would be born, who he would be born to, a virgin, because he would be a miracle baby. That there wouldn't be an earthly father involved, there would be a heavenly father involved. That the blood running through him wasn't of man, it was of God. And his response to all of this sinfulness and brokenness and this shattering of lives and ambitions and dreams of people, that God came into the world. He didn't run away from the mess. He didn't isolate himself away from our brokenness. He says, here's my response to pain and shattering and brokenness and sinfulness. I'm going to come down. Every other religion will tell you need to go up. You need to attain to certain laws and degrees of certain things, of knowledge and understanding and of holiness and isolation from the world. Every other religion is trying to get to God. But this God came to us in prison cells and lion's dens and all these type of places. This is where he came, and he didn't say, go away from me, you're sinful. He says, come to me, all you who are weary of burdens, and I will give you what you want. I'll give you what you need. He has everything we need this morning. You need a father, which most of us do. All of us do. He is that father. He is that father. This is what John says, the Apostle John. How great the love that the Father has lavished us. That's the Father. He lavishes. He doesn't give sparingly. He doesn't give, oh, when you do good, I give you love. No, he just lavishes. And out of that love being lavished, we want to come to him. We want to come to him. We want to obey him. We want to give our lives to him. It's out of him lavishing. We love him because he first loves us. And the degree of love that we allow ourselves to experience will be the degree of love that we can love him back with. So what do you need this morning? Simon, could you come back with whoever is left on your team here? Ken is here. Chaz and Dave. Yay! You know what God said to him, Abraham speaking. You know what ministered to your heart. This sermon was going to be all about visitors. Unexpected visitors. When you look at Jesus' life, the amount of angels that were released to get God's plan kicked off into action to protect God's plan. You'd be amazed. 300 times in the Bible, angels are mentioned. To do God's bidding means they're here. Means they're here to bring what God wants into your life. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is not just here. He's in you as a believer. And he spends half of our life trying to get into our lives, and he spends the other half trying to get out of our lives. He gets in, he breaks in, then he wants to break out. And that's what he wants to do this morning. This is what I'd love us to do. If you're visiting with us, what a morning. Any visitors for the first time? You're very welcome, Leah. Have I? I don't know, never knows. What a morning, Leah. What a morning for you to come into this place. That's great. This is what Naomi last week. I don't know whether she, well, I was here at the beginning, so I don't think she would be. Naomi invited us last week to come up with them to worship. And this is what I'd like to do for every one of us. That we come up with them. We're not gonna do very much other than sing a song and allow God to do what he wants to do. What's a testimony? Here's what a testimony is. A testimony is a prophecy of what God wants to do again. So you heard prison, criminality, addiction, hope, visitors coming to visit you in prison, going into a restful place like Lifeline, going into another restful place like Tig Lynn, having friends around, family around, all the things that God has given back into Abraham. All of what he said is a prophecy of what God wants to do again. As he stands there as a signpost, God done this in my life and God is speaking, I'll do it again and again and again. Now, what part of his story has not touched some of our areas of our life? He was far away from God. God brought him there. When he needed a friend, God got a friend behind the prison doors in to sit with him. That's what God wants to do. When God got him out of addiction, that's what God wants to do. When God provided for him, that's what he wants to do for all of us. So would you be bold enough? Step out. Just come on. We're just going to sing this song. I want to sing Simon's song, because that is a powerful song. Come on. Take a person by the hand, grill them, bake them, fry them in a pan. Look at that. Power. Come on. Come on. Every person, come on. We're not going to bite. Luke, don't sit down there, son. Come on. Come on, son. There's something for you. Amen. Come on, all the way up. All the way up. Move across. Now, what do you need? What do you need? Come on, Eno. Come on, guys. Come on. Every single one of us. Miranda, come on, take that visitor by the hand. I can promise us absolutely nothing. But Father can promise us absolutely everything. Do you hear that? I can promise you absolutely nothing. But Father can promise you absolutely everything and deliver on it. So let's just settle for a moment and pray, and then we'll just sing for 5 or something minutes or something. And you know what you heard in Abraham's. In fact, just calm down for a moment. Eddie, I felt when Abraham recognized you and the response in the body. See, I can say on this or that, but I'm only this or that to those who recognize him this or that. And the body recognized you this morning, man. And I really felt it was an activation point. It was like I felt the Lord saying, Eddie, you're getting on the horse again, man. You're getting on the horse again. And we just pray and bless you, Eddie. And that it's a season in God. That out of the last season, he's going to draw it out into a new season. New sound, new words, new activation points. He's going to add to what you had before. He's going to add a dimension of his Holy Spirit moving through you that you hadn't got before, because the season wasn't there. This is the season. And we just release the activation, oh God, that was recognized by the body that you are on, oh God. So let's put our hands in. What do you need from Father? What do you need? What do you need? Come on, have an expectation right now. He's placed it upon himself. You can place great expectations on me. That's God. Peace, breakthrough, freedom, provision. Fathering, filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm just trying to think of every word that Abby was using. You need direction. He is your director. You need pride to be cast down, put out. Yes, Lord. The song says, "I can." There is awakening in me. Awaken us as we sing this song, Lord. Awaken those things that are asleep. We heard the scripture, wake up, O sleeper. Awaken. I feel a fire burn within me. Speaking down in Carlo the other night, speaking on the prophet Jeremiah. They told Jeremiah to shut up. Don't say them words from God again. Jeremiah says, look, I can't shut up even if I want to shut up, because this fire, this word is like fire in my bones. He was like, you can put me in cisterns, beat me up, put me in stocks and chains, but this word of God is like a fire in me. And it needs to get out. I can feel a fire burn within. God, activate. Breathe, blow upon the fire that's deep within the deep members of who we are, the gifts and the callings and the dreams. And there's another one, like something about grace. It feels like our God is saving us by grace. Let's receive the grace of God wherever you're in right now. Listen, his grace is sufficient. Receive the all-sufficiency of God's grace right now. So we're going to sing this song. We're going to receive from what this song says. We're going to give him thanks. Because all I can say is thank you, Lord. We're going to give him thanks. We're going to give him thanks. There's many walking away this morning from churches everywhere, right? And they just have to receive it. And Jesus, one came back, one leper came back. And Jesus says, was there not 10 that I healed? Where's your 9? He says, Jesus, I've come back to say thanks. Come on. And then we bless him, we send you out into the city.